Around the horn, Frank Isola, Israel Gutierrez, Jay Adande, thank you for being here. News of the day from Florida. Positive tests at the Philadelphia Phillies facility. 8 in total between players and staff. Facility shut down. A symptomatic player in the Toronto Blue Jays facility. Facility shut down. And in hockey, Tampa Bay Lightning, once again, not far away from the Blue Jays and the Phillies in their camp. Several players testing positive as well as staff. Facility shut down. That's hockey. That's Major League Baseball. The NFL clearly watching this. The NBA, the WNBA clearly watching this. Israel Gutierrez, you're watching this. You may be covering the bubble and the NBA as well. What's your view of it this afternoon?
I view it as a serious problem for baseball just because of the time constraints. They're trying to have spring training as early as next week, and you've got guys that are currently testing positive that you presume would have to be quarantined, and anybody that has been in contact with them would presumably have to be quarantined. I think that's where the NBA has that benefit, right? They have enough of a calendar left where they built in a time for testing and, you know, to give yourself a good 10 to 14 days there. And so for baseball, If these negotiations end up in baseball being played and 60, 70 games being played, when will it start? This tells me it probably won't start next week. It's probably going to be a couple of weeks at least, and maybe that number of games will have to shrink a little bit.
Frank Isola?
You know, cases are spiking in Florida, and half the baseball teams are going to be there. Yet the NBA is going there. The MLS is going to be there. And I go week to week being kind of optimistic that pro sports are going to return. Now, today I'm probably more on the pessimistic side. But, Tony, why is it that in England, they're playing soccer? Germany's been playing for about a month. Italy is going to start tomorrow. Is it because those countries are smaller? Did they have a better national strategy as it relates to the COVID-19? It just seems like these other countries in sports league are a little ahead of the game. The good news is that the people that have tested positive, the players, we've heard reports no one's been hospitalized, but the NBA and the MLS know that this is facing them when they go down to Florida.
And Jay Adande.
And then you have to wonder what's looming for the NFL, right? And it's a reminder that anytime you have people gathering indoors, the virus spreads. It really is that simple of fact. And we try to ignore it, but repeatedly, this is what happens. And so what happens when you have 2, 3, 4 times the number of players and personnel that are involved in NFL franchise? We've seen issues with college football teams in their offseason workouts, and the virus is spreading there. They're having to shut those down. So, yes, this is an immediate concern for baseball if and when they're able to get their season started. But I think we're starting to the NFL is no longer off on the horizon. We're getting a month or two away from the start of training camps, and this is a major issue. This virus is not going away in our society, and it's going to be a persistent presence in the sporting world as well.
Anybody want to hazard an answer to Frank's question there? How have the European leagues been able to pull this off, Jay, if you've got any view
on
that?
Germany, for one, has had a much better national strategy from the get-go. And the concerning thing, though, is that even the countries that have done a better job, have taken a better approach, they're still seeing spikes and renewing spread of the virus as well. So if the countries that got it right still can't eliminate it, how are we going to get it right?
We're saying words like spike and second wave. I'm not. Yeah. Maybe. Or first wave. Maybe just still the first wave. Maybe plateaued in the first wave is where we are. Let's move on now. Another topic I want to get your view on. Former men's national soccer coach Bruce Arena was on Taylor Twelman's podcast and said, quote, "We don't use the national anthem in movie theaters, on Broadway, other events in the United States. I don't think it's appropriate to have a national anthem before a baseball game or an MLS game. Becoming too big of an issue." Jay, how did you hear Bruce Arena there?
I think we're getting too far ahead of ourselves, and that's too extreme a reaction the other way. One, I don't think we should have the national anthem stay in an NBA bubble if there are no fans in attendance. There's really no point. But if we can get back to a point of full stadiums, then we should have the option. Just like we shouldn't have told people not to kneel during the anthem, we shouldn't tell people that they shouldn't have the opportunity to express their patriotism, to have this shared moment of gratitude for being in this country, if that's the way you feel. We shouldn't have this uniform approach to the anthem. And if we get rid of the anthem, think about that. We might never have another thing that even comes close to a Marvin Gaye or Whitney Houston rendition. Don't you want to leave that option open?
Israel Gutierrez.
Not so much. Not if it includes all these distractions, if you will. If you look back at when we started playing the anthem in games, it was before it was even our national anthem, and it was for morale boosts, basically for the crowd, literally, during World War I. It was a unifying thing. It is no longer unifying. Now we're bringing essentially the rest of the outside world's problems into the sporting arena. And it's true what Bruce Arena said. We don't do that in other areas of entertainment. This is merely tradition, and times can change. We can change tradition. And my calling for them to change it? No, but everything that he said, absolutely correct. It's inappropriate. And if we really want to think about it, it's a serious consideration to get rid of it.
And Frank Gaisola?
You know, Tony, Bruce Arena also said, you know, remember, he's the most accomplished U.S. Soccer coach in history, and he's coached us in the World Cup. And he said, he's as patriotic as anybody. When he hears the anthem before the matches would begin, there were times when he actually teared up and began crying. I think what he's talking about is you don't want it to become something that starts dividing us, because now there's been so much talk about it. I totally understand where he's coming from, but I think a lot of people agree with Jay where they're going to want to hear the anthem at games. I still think it's going to be part of the sports fabric in this country.
Mm-hmm. One more topic for you guys right now, and it resembles sports, finally. Sports. The Jets. I said resembles.
The Jets.
The Jets. Jamal Adams trades a man. How we got here, Jets said they wanted to make him a Jet for life at one point. And where this is going, now we're hearing 8 teams on his trade list. Baltimore, Dallas, Houston, KC, Philly, San Fran, Seattle, and he added Tampa. I wonder why. Frank, do the Jets really entertain trading away their best player?
No. If I'm Jamal Adams, if I'm his agent, I'm absolutely doing this. I am the best player on my team, arguably the best safety in the NFL. But remember, during this pandemic, we don't even know if there's going to be an NFL season. He's still under contract for 2 more years. They could franchise him. They're in no position to do this. Plus, he's hurting their leverage. He's already come out and said, I want to be traded. What are they going to get for a player like that now?
Frank, you're in New York, though. You know this has been bubbling. This has happened suddenly, but very gradually. Jamal Adams has been very vociferous about this. Can he wield any power here?
I think the NFL players see what the NBA players do, what Major League Baseball players do. I think they look at the player empowerment, and I think they're trying to get that into their sport as well. But again, the Jets have all the leverage right here, so I'm not trading him. He's too good.
Israel Gutierrez?
Making him a Jet for life sounds more like a threat than an offer. I do think he's got no leverage here. Show me the leverage here, because, I mean, this is the best Jet since, what, Daryl Revis probably, right? And look what they did with Le'Veon Bell when he threatened to hold out. I just don't see the playbook here for Jamal Adams. I mean, it's better than just holding out for more money, saying, hey, trade me. At least it's a little bit different, but I don't see it ending well for him.
And Jay Adande?
Yeah, and Israel, I don't see the wisdom of allocating funds when you have limited resources under a salary cap. Do you want to devote that much money to the safety position? As great as he was, he couldn't do better than a 7-9 record for the Jets last season. You look at the highest paid player at that position, played for the Bears last year. They went 8-8. So is that what the Jets would like to upgrade for and guarantee themselves if they pay him more money?
You can't go
around
like that, though, Jay. There is win ratio.
What team has been led to the Super Bowl by a strong safety?
That's right.
Well, the Baltimore Ravens have one of the best of all time, Ed Reed. They kept him there forever, and it worked out pretty well for them. My question is, during the pandemic, does that really undercut any leverage Adams would have, Frank?
I think it should, but Jamal Adams is going to tell you, then why is Christian McCaffrey, a running back, getting paid like that? So he's bringing up a valid point. But again, Anthony Reale, we heard Anthony Fauci tell us that there might not be football this year. And I think that's what the Jets are thinking.
Those teams on that list, though, I mean, of course, Dallas is on there. Everybody, it'd be so interesting. Jerry Jones, you think he'd go after Jamal Adams? Baltimore, KC, and then Tampa just appeared today out of nowhere. It's almost like, I forgot.
Shocker.
Brady's there now.
Hey, Brady Gronk.
That's our time back to SportsCenter.